former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, Brian Sutherby, joins us. Suds, Hawks, Kings. Who do you like tonight and why?
Such a tough one. I think the Kings. They just, for me, even last game, you look at the way they came out, the way the Hawks jumped up 3-0, and the way the Kings have been this entire playoff series. Nothing sort of phases them. They just have this calm, cool confidence that they're going to get it done with their size, their skill, their depth, and I think Jonathan Quick will probably be a little bit better. They'll get some of their matchups at home, home crowd. I'm going with them tonight.
Do the Rangers have a prayer against either one of these teams?
I don't know. I've been wrong all playoffs. So you have the Rangers in the final. So you're the man when it comes to that sort of stuff. I've been dead wrong, and I don't think the Rangers have a prayer. I would expect that this thing probably ends in five versus either team, but there might be a chance it goes six or seven with Lundqvist. With the way the Rangers, I don't love the way the Rangers play. I've said that kind of all playoffs. There's just no real animosity, physicality to their game. So for me, just personal preference, the way they play the game is more geared to a defensive style. It doesn't necessarily suit me, but with Lundqvist back there, I do like their back end, and with some timely scoring, guys stepping up like a St. Louis or a Nash, you never know.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. Man, the Kings are monsters compared to those teams the Rangers have had to play. I just think the West is so much better. And even if the Kings, you know, they'll play 20 games, but the Rangers have played 20 games as well. That's why I don't think fatigue is a factor. Even if the Kings go seven games, so they'll play 21 games to 20. Is it really that much of a difference?
I don't think it's that much of a difference, but when you look at the style of hockey, it could play a factor. I mean, those series early on against San Jose and the Ducks were heavy, heavy games. I mean, everybody was finishing their checks. Everybody was, you had to go through a wall to get any space out there. Chicago plays a little bit more of an up-tempo style, maybe not quite as physical, but a fast-paced game. So maybe from that standpoint, health-wise, they can catch a little bit of a breather. I would say that it would play a bit of a factor. Obviously, for New York, it's an advantage. The longer this series goes, the better for them, no question. But I agree with you that I don't think that the East really stands a chance against either team coming out of the West. I just think they're too deep. Both teams are too deep. They've got better defense, you know, star-studded defense, goaltending. Crawford could be a little bit of a weak spot. I'd say if the Rangers do have a chance at all, it might be against the Hawks, just because I'd give the advantage to Lundqvist. But for the most part, I'd take the West teams, forwards, defense, and goaltenders for the most part over any of the Ranger forwards players.
You being a baseball fan, do you watch the Jays?
So I play much like fantasy football, and I'm so happy that we got my San Diego Charger team and we picked them last episode. I'm big into fantasy baseball as well, so I follow baseball as a whole, and I jump on the bandwagon when the Jays are doing really well. And so I won't say that I've been following them that closely, but they've definitely got my attention. I hear the Encarnacion song every morning on Dusty's show like three times an episode now. So it's been fun to see them sort of galvanize Canada and really get people's interest.
Now, as a guy, when you were playing, you know, baseball was in the off season. You were in Edmonton. I know you trained lots, but like when you were in Dallas, did you go to a lot of baseball games?
Yeah, I went to. I don't know about a lot, but I would try to go to 4, 5, 6 a year. I don't know if there's anything better than going to the ballpark when it's a nice day out, having a beer. Knowing me, and probably having 3 or 4 hot dogs and, you know, just enjoying the ballpark. There's not much better than hearing the sound of a wood bat and watching a good team. And I actually, when I was in Dallas, it was the most ridiculous year ever. I think I've told you it before, but in one year I saw the World Series championship get handed out I was at the game when the Giants beat the Rangers in Game 5. I saw the Mavericks beat the Heat in Game 6 in the NBA Final. And I went to the Super Bowl where the Packers beat the Steelers in Dallas. So baseball was big on my list, though.
So. What is the best park you were at?
Best ballpark?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my biggest regret in life is playing in Portland, Maine and never going to Fenway. Went to Boston quite often, and for some reason, I have no idea, I never went to Fenway. Texas is a very cool ballpark. It's big. There's all kinds of stuff in the outfield. The stadium doesn't really end in the outfield. Anaheim's pretty cool with some of the rocks out there. I'm going to go with Anaheim just based on the weather. Texas, you almost couldn't, unless it was an afternoon game, an early afternoon game, it would get pretty hot in the evening. So I'll go Anaheim just because it was fair weather and there's some cool stuff in the outfield.
Okay. Going back to the Montreal Canadiens last night, Brian.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's most recent game, and give the Rangers a lot of credit, but you're down one goal. That's it, one goal. You only muster five shots in the final period and never once looked like you were even close to getting a decent scoring chance.
Yeah, and I think you probably have to give the Rangers some credit. I mean, their defense is, for me at least, probably their strong suit with Lundqvist. We talked a few weeks ago about Phaneuf and the teams that he might be a third on. And I think the Rangers with Girardi, McDonough, and Staal could be one of those teams. So their back end, for me, is pretty strong, and they play a defensive game. I look at Montreal, and you wonder how much people talk. A lot of people don't think that size is a big deal. But you wonder how much, as the playoffs went on, if the smaller players got fatigued. P.K. Subban wasn't the same player he was in the Boston series. And also, they just looked like a team. They were close in this series. I mean, every game was tight. It wasn't like they got blown away. But when you can't muster anything when your season's on the line, you wonder about fatigue. You wonder if the energy's there. And it just didn't have the same feel all series when they were playing Boston, just that hatred, that animosity through the media. When a lot of times as a player, I've seen it before, I've felt it before, when you win a big game or you win a big series and everything almost seems like you reach this pinnacle and then, oh, we got to play a game 2 days from now or we still have two rounds left. And it just didn't look like they had that same energy, same hatred that they did for Boston, and almost like they lost some of that jump they had.
Ryan Sotheby joins us. Looking at, ahead to Montreal, P.K. Subban, now that the season's over, mm-hmm. we're just over 5 weeks, I guess, from and this year it's a little bit different. In the past, you used to be able to protect players from not getting an offer sheet, right, just by qualifying them. But now, if you qualify the player, there's still that 3 or 4 days where a team can give them an offer sheet, if so. I don't know if a team offer sheet Subban because – would it be worth it? I think Montreal is matching it. What do you think is the ultimate number he gets in? And maybe the Habs want a team to offer sheet him because then they only have to do it for 7 years because a team can't offer him 8.
Yeah, I think he ends up probably around 8 at the end of the day. Maybe a little shy of that. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a little bit north of that for the whole length of the deal. But I agree with you. I really don't see a team doing it unless – maybe you're in the division, or maybe you're trying to just sort of play a game and almost up the ante for Montreal, a cap game. But I think most teams around the league would expect that Montreal is going to match no matter the number. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league. He takes a lot of heat for his game at times, and he's young, and sure, there's things that he can work on and grow on, but you can see how much of an impact he can have on a game, have on a series. I mean, that Boston series between him and Price, they pretty much won them that series, and they lost Price and PK, whether it was just that he didn't convert on some of his chances or whatnot, or just didn't quite have the same level of play. He's one of the best defensemen in the game, and he's going to get paid like it. And I just don't, I don't think that a team really is going to think that Montreal is not going to match over a few million dollars.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they do. I still see PK Subban getting 8 years at around probably 8.2 to 8.3 million.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me at all.
Andre Markov, if you're the Canadiens at his age, do you bring him back?
I don't know. He looked like he had a tough night on the St. Louis goal a few games ago in overtime, batting the puck around a little bit. You just have to wonder at some point if it's time for a change. I mean, he's obviously a fantastic player, a fantastic defenseman. And does he want to come back, or is it time for a change for him as well? I would imagine guys like him, you know, they don't grow on trees. He's a veteran defenseman. There's a lot of teams out there that would want him back. I would imagine that the Habs will make an effort, but if they have to overpay for him or really give him a longer-term contract, especially with PK being up, I'm not sure that he's going to end up back in a Habs uniform.
The Habs, the one element of their team that they would need to improve, though, is that they like their defense really struggled against the Rangers in this series after Subban. Like, they really struggled to slow them down.
Yeah. Well, and they didn't have that. And to be honest, the Rangers aren't that good of an offensive team, which is sort of concerning. So they have to address that, no question. Did they think he's an aging guy? They would know him better than anyone. So if they don't want to re-sign him, that's usually a pretty good sign. Absolutely, with that team, that they have to figure out what they want to do on their back end, the whole Vanek thing. And when you do talk to people around Montreal, even though we've sort of gone down their roster and they do have a little bit more size, I know we compare them a lot to the Oilers, and they still have some bigger forwards with skill than an Oilers team, but they absolutely have to address some of that and their defense, and maybe adding a little bit more grit or toughness in their top six or nine has to be on their agenda.
What are you watch? Would you watch automatically playoff hockey over, or do you watch the playoffs in basketball at all?
Not a lot.
Okay.
I mean, if it's game 5-6 in the NBA Finals, like I watched last year, I remember Ray Allen hitting a few of those threes late, and it was pretty awesome to watch. Obviously, I have an opportunity like I did in Dallas to go to the finals, you know, experience some of that stuff. But for the most part, basketball, unless it's everything on the line, NBA finals, I'm not going to tune in too much. For me, tonight, I'm not flipping the channel back and forth between basketball and this Hawks-Kings game, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, enjoy the weekend, Suds. Oh, and by the way, a serious question for you, because I'm not sure if you heard that Struds got snubbed by Celine Dion when he was 22. he's still rattled about it. And
I didn't hear that. But that's
yeah,
good.
He was
yeah,
at
like
an event,
that.
And she just basically said, her manager introduced him and said, "Hey, I can introduce you," and says, "Hey, I got someone. This guy's from Canada. Why don't you meet him?" And she just said, "Nice," and then walked away. So he said he's
what was he wearing?
It's funny, we all ask him that question. He said I was wearing a suit, but it probably wasn't that nice of one. So
he probably looked terrible and she just fluffed him off.
So
who's this guy?
We asked the question, Whitney Houston, yeah. Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, who is the better singer?
Oh wow. That's tough. I did go see Titanic when I was 14 twice in theaters. I think I would probably have to go with Whitney, though. She,
okay.
I think Whitney would be tops for me.
All right. Wow. Whitney Houston getting all the votes so far from our everybody we've asked
all
in the
votes?
Show.
No
yep.
one else?
No, it's been
all
Whitney
right.
unanimous so far. There you go. Yeah, well, you guys are all huge fans of The Bodyguard.
Has anybody been able to – I've told you I'm a huge American Idol fan, and I've never seen anybody be able to do I Will Always Love You. Like her, so.
No. Well, what about when Mariah sings that one song and she has like that 30 seconds of where she's going, well, I don't even want to do it because I'll butcher, where she just goes
on,
really high, you know, and she's not even singing, she's just making the sound effects. I was like, wow, that's pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, well, they're all ridiculous, but I mean, that song for Whitney, I don't know. No one can hit that for me that I've seen, so I'm going with Whitney.
All right. Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, buddy. You too.